The increasing numbers of incidents in which police come face-to-face with people in mental health crisis call for some changes in police procedure. Police in many places are getting additional training to prepare for such encounters, and that includes the Medford Police. MPD has added several hours of training for officers focused on what people in mental health crisis experience and how they might best be dealt with. Curtis Whipple is a lieutenant with the Medford Police and the head of the patrol division and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Lieutenant, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me here.
So I noticed this morning's Mail Tribune had an editorial about this very subject, and so indicates that, there is a definite increase in the numbers of cases you're being called to.
We absolutely have, over the last few years, had a dramatic increase in the number of, mental health calls for service we have gone to.
And so what kinds of tools are available other than officer training when you go out to these scenes?
Well, as far as at Medford PD and across Jackson County, I mean, we not only have officers that respond to calls, but we have Jackson County Mental Health that assists us with calls for service regarding individuals who have mental health issues.
Assist in what way?
They will assist, and they've actually gone Jackson County Mental Health about, 18 months ago. They are a 24-hour-a-day service, and we can call them at any point in time and either get information over the phone from them, or they will actually come out to the scene to some of our crisis, or even individuals will go to who, you know, we may wonder if they need to be transported to the psychiatric care unit at Rogue Regional Medical Center, and they'll come out and assist us with that.
The psych unit itself, I understand, is one of the causes of concern because of its limited space.
Yeah, there's actually two locations at Rogue Regional. The first one is the psychiatric care unit, and that's actually at the emergency department. And what the police do is if they find someone who is suicidal, a danger to themselves or to somebody else, they will take them originally to the psychiatric care unit, and from there they'll get assistance from nurses and from doctors. And in order to go up to the behavioral health unit, which is 2 north, they actually have to have a 2-doctor hold to go up there. So in the behavioral health unit here in the Valley, it's 18 beds. So we don't have a lot of space for individuals who have serious and persistent mental health issues. And that's not only for Jackson County area. That includes Josephine County, Klamath County, locations from Northern California that individuals go and use those beds at the Rogue Regional Mental Health Center.
So if, for example, you pick somebody up, they need some kinds of psychiatric services and presumably inpatient services. First of all, how do you transfer jurisdiction from police to mental health authorities? And then who makes the decision about whether somebody else gets kicked out of 2 North to make room for a new person? And if that person can't be held there, where do they go?
Okay. Well, what happens is if an officer goes to, let's say, someone who's suicidal. What they'll do is they'll go there, they'll contact them, they will eventually place them into custody. When they place them into custody, they end up going to the back of a police car, and we transport them to the Rogue Regional Medical Center, to the psychiatric care unit, where we'll actually transfer them over to a nurse and to mental health professionals there, where they'll actually be evaluated to see if they need that to go upstairs to the behavioral health unit, or if they can actually be, set free to friends, neighbors, to somebody else who can help assist and take care of them.
But, I understand it's police procedure, but, I can't imagine it's entirely helpful to people who are really in crisis to get handcuffed and put in the back of a police car.
It's not, in my opinion. And there are other agencies, other states that treat mental health illness more as a medical disorder. And that's what I would like to see us go down to that model where we're actually having individuals who are, they're in a crisis, but they are not dangerous, to go in ambulance, transport, from an ambulance to the hospital in that way would be, in my mind, a better way to make it happen. That way you're not causing more trauma to the individual who is already in crisis.
But then who makes the call on whether the person is dangerous? If they're not dangerous and can go in an ambulance instead of a police car.
And again, that would be the officer at the scene. And most of the time, once you get there, you can talk to an individual. You can get the feel of the situation. You can ascertain if you believe that individual, first of all, is a danger to themselves or others. If they are, you're going to have to do something with them. You can't just leave them into their house if they're a danger to themselves or to someone else. And you're going to have to decide at that point in time what the best disposition is.
All right. So here again, it's a police officer making a call on what is a mental health case.
That is correct.
Okay, and what kind of training does any officer get? If you're just, if you're relatively new to the force, what kind of training are you going to have when you hit the streets about dealing with people in mental health crisis?
There is some basic training that occurs at the DPSST, which is the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. And then, I mean, once you get on the road, you have the on-the-job training. At Medford, it's a 12-week field training officer program that they go through. And during that 12 weeks, they have numerous calls for service with individuals with mental health issues. We are multiple times daily dealing with individuals in a mental health crisis.
Multiple times daily?
Multiple times daily. Matter of fact, the stats for Medford Police Department, just in our holds in 2014, we had 486 mental health holds. And what a mental health hold is we actually go out to a scene. We contact an individual who we feel is a danger to themselves or someone else, someone that needs to have some type of further care. And there's been 486 times in 2014 that we actually put handcuffs on somebody and brought them to the psychiatric care unit. In addition to that, we responded to 555 either attempted suicides or actual suicides that have happened in the city of Medford. And that 555 times, I mean, oftentimes with that, we're going to be, you know, making contact with them. We're going to be ascertaining their welfare. And that can be anywhere from an individual who has a gun and says they are going to kill themselves to someone who has, you know, put up on Facebook, you know, my boyfriend, my girlfriend just broke up with me and I'm feeling suicidal. And that's the gamut of what the police department will go out to as far as, you know, attempted suicide calls.
Is there any overlap between these numbers? Of the 486 mental health holds and the 555 attempted or actual suicides, any overlap on those?
On those, there might be some overlap. What we do have overlap on is what we call mental health referrals. And we had 917 of those during the same time frame in 2014. And with those, if someone, say, is suicidal, and we take them into custody, we will also refer that report to Jackson County Mental Health. And what we do at Medford Police Department is weekly, we have meetings with Jackson County Mental Health, and we'll take all the cases to them that these are the individuals we have had contact with who have had a mental health call for service with Medford PD. We'll discuss the cases. We'll look at any case that appears to be, need to have further investigation or look into by Jackson County Mental Health. And oftentimes, some of these individuals have prior history with Jackson County Mental Health, and they might just need a counselor or someone else to go out and talk to them and see if they can get them back on their medication, see if they can get them the assistance they need.
And do you find, though, that Jackson County Mental Health comes back and says, well, you know, we've been trying to get somebody out there, we just don't have the staff at this time?
I'm not going to say that happens. I think if it's a situation where the police get involved in it and it's ramped up to that level, mental health has the capabilities to go out and make contact for the most part. Sometimes it's difficult to find the people. That's, you know, the other side of it.
Okay.
Some of the people are homeless or transient that we deal with, and sometimes are hard to get a hold of.
All right, but the bigger issue here is you're talking about, I mean, I think off the cuff I would think, okay, maybe a couple times a week police are dealing with it. You're talking a couple times a day.
Oh, easily. I mean, with our last night, just looking at the mental health calls for service off the top of my head, on our watch commander's report, I can think of three. And one of them, our officers are out for an hour and a half with an individual who had jumped rooftop to rooftop and said he had a gun, said he was going to kill himself with the police, and they talked to him for an hour and a half before they finally got him off the roof, got him into handcuffs. He ended up going to jail because of some other issues he had. But, I mean, once he got to jail, they requested a mental health referral for him as well.
All right, but you managed to get him off the rooftop and down and,
yes,
and safely put away.
And that is a daily occurrence at Medford PD.
Lieutenant Curtis Whipple is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He heads the patrol division at the Medford Police Department. We're talking about police and mental health cases. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. You have been undergoing some training. Is there some additional training, I understand, with mental health cases for specifically Medford Police?
Yeah, it's actually not just Medford Police. It's actually Jackson County wide. Mm-hmm. The training is offered through Medford Police Department. We've had officers from Central Point PD, Talent PD, Phoenix PD, Ashland PD, the Sheriff's Department have all gone through the Crisis Intervention Training Program.
We have a little clip from that I want to play. This is a, why don't you set this up for us? Because this is evidently trying to simulate what it sounds like inside the head of somebody in a schizophrenic episode.
Yeah, one of the parts we do to the crisis intervention training, which it's a 40-hour training, so it's not just, you know, 3 or 4 hours where we go in there and the officers, you know, learn a little bit about mental health. It's a fairly in-depth training that's put on by members of Jackson County Mental Health, by psychiatrists, by police officers. We actually have officers that go to the behavioral health unit. They'll go to the Veterans Administration. Well, they'll talk to veterans who have PTSD, who have, you know, traumatic brain injuries. But with this piece of it, what we do is for about a 2.5 or 3 hour block of time, we have officers wear a set of headphones that simulates someone who has schizophrenia. It simulates the voices that someone with schizophrenia would have in their head. And basically this is to give the officer, throughout this entire program, empathy towards individuals with a mental health issue.
All right, let's hear what that sounds like.
Look at their eyes. Look at them. Their eyes are full of disgust.
You have the way.
You smell.
We know you have
you
the
are
way.
Disgusting.
We know you.
They're looking at you and seeing you, and they see everything you do, and you are disgusting.
So that's disturbing. And you said this goes on for 2.5 or 3 hours officers with these on their headphones?
Yeah, it goes on for about 2.5 and 3 hours. And during that time frame, we do several exercises with the officers. We'll read them a story, and they'll have to answer questions about that story. Or we'll have them read a different story and then ask them questions about it. We'll do something called a Kim's game, which is a kind of a memory game. And then we actually have them do, you know, interviews as a police officer and as a victim with the voices in their head so they can see what it takes in order to, you know, talk to somebody who may have voices in their heads. A big piece of it is learning to slow down, learning to repeat yourself. One of the pieces we also put in there is that when you talk to an individual and you try to talk to them about schizophrenia and voices in their head, most people think, I have voices in my head too. I have a conscience. You know, I have voices that will tell me stuff now and then. It's different. We explain to them that, you know, you can put an individual with schizophrenia in an MRI in an absolute quiet environment, and that portion of the brain that hears things lights up. It is actually burning glucose, so it's not something that's in their head. It is actually voices that they hear.
And who helped you put the training tape together? I'm curious to know who figured out it's authentic. Or
What that training tape is there's a PhD, and she has schizophrenia, and she actually made that tape to simulate the voices that she has in her head. And it's a tape that we got through the crisis intervention training that we went to in Utah.
Wow. And I imagine officers come out of this training changed a bit.
They do. Again, a big piece of it, and I think the most important part the officers get out of it is, you know, we talk to individuals from NAMI, which is the National Alliance of Mental Illness. Mm-hmm. We have family members come in. We have individuals who have various, you know, mental health issues who come in and talk to the officers about their illness, talk to them about what it's like to have a family member who has a mental health issue. And we reiterate to the officers that when a family who has someone with a mental illness calls the police, it's an issue. They deal with that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when they get to the point in time they cannot, you know, handle their individual who has a mental health issue, it's absolutely is an issue, and we need to take it seriously.
Lieutenant Curtis Whipple is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with the Medford Police. He's the patrol division head. We're talking about the police encountering mental health workers. And the numbers, again, you said 486 mental health holds in the year 2014. In that same year, and there might be some overlap here, 555 actual or attempted suicides. That's a lot of business that you're going on to that is not just locking people up because they broke a window or stole something.
Absolutely. I mean, we have found that, you know, the increases we've had since 2012 mostly have been double digits every year in those three categories, in the mental health holds, in the suicides attempt or attempted suicides or completed suicides, and the mental health referrals. And that hasn't stopped. In this year, I mean, up to April, our increases have been another 16% in the mental health holds, another 29% in the mental health referrals, and either a suicide or attempted suicides, we've gone up 34%. And that's just at Medford PD.
What I'll ask you the same question I asked of the social worker we talked to in the first segment, who was the counselor for the man who Eugene police shot to death at the end of March. If you had the chance to make the call and say, here's how we would staff and equip these situations when police encounter mentally ill people, who additional would you recommend be out there?
You know, I think we do pretty good at Medford PD. We have officers on scene who have crisis intervention training. I know she had talked about in a veteran situation, we have quite a few veterans, and we tried to get them out of the scene to talk to a vet. Actually getting a hold of someone from Jackson County Mental Health or a mental health facility that might be able to come out to the scene and give other suggestions or ideas. One of the biggest things we do on situations like that is try to slow everything down. I mean, when you're talking to someone who has a mental health issue, slowing things down, you know, trying to find, you know, what we call hooks and triggers. Mm-hmm. I mean, hooks when you're if you can actually get the individual to talk to you, which is another hard part sometimes, if you can get them to talk to you, finding out, you know, what makes them tick, what they are interested in, you know, what are those things that might make them, you know, talk to you and you know, do what you're asking them to do and to help themselves out. And you also try to find out what the triggers. I mean, sometimes you'll talk to somebody and you'll bring up, you know, a wife, and suddenly you'll realize that was probably the wrong thing to bring up.
Agitation rises.
Yeah, so you absolutely don't want to bring that up again.
So the situations, though, I mean, it's counter to the officer's training, is because the officer's trained to resolve things quickly. So this is totally going a different way, isn't it?
I'm not going to say totally going a different way. What I'm going to say is this is improving communication skills, and we use communication skills every day. No matter what the encounter is, whether it's mental health, someone with a warrant, talking to someone involved in domestic violence. Communication skills is what we do. And that's a daily thing. So this is enhancing the communication skills that officers have.
In addition to training, do you provide counseling for officers if they've had to deal with mental health situations?
You know, when we originally started the CIT training, that was not in there. After about the third CIT training, we've actually had officers who said, hey, you know, we've been through a lot of trauma ourselves. How about something that to put in there about how the officers can deal with the trauma and the best way for us to handle it ourselves?
CIT is crisis intervention training, which is now a regular thing for the Medford Police. And so, wow, that is just an amazing number, though. Again, 486 mental health holds in the year 2014, along with 555 actual or attempted suicides, and then 917 mental health referrals. Some overlap in those numbers, you say?
That's correct, yes.
All right, busy times at the Medford Police. Lieutenant Curtis Whipple heads the patrol division at Medford Police. Thanks so much for the insights today. I appreciate it.